Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Crypto Sparta podcast. We're back after a brief hiatus. Let's just jump into the market, Brian. You want to go ahead with some of the stats?
Yeah, so I think the last 2 weeks since we talked last, Bitcoin was down at like 32,000 and ETH was around like 2,200. So we've had a bit of a resurgence these past 2 weeks. Bitcoin is now up to 43,000 and Ethereum is at 29,000. So there has been a great bumps. Everybody's back to being bullish on Twitter after
slight pullback. And I just was on Twitter and it was the volume is low. So it's just like a quiet weekend with a bit of selling, but not much to like distract from the greater trends, in my opinion.
Yeah, so ETH is coming back. The super cycle is intact.
The super cycle. But let's get into like the breaking news. I mean, a lot of people are up in arms about this infrastructure bill that it's quite complicated to understand. I mean, maybe I should pull up an article, but the provisions in the different amendments would really apparently hurt developers and a lot of the innovation that could happen in the United States because of reporting. And so, I mean, Brian, you have any just like initial thoughts?
Yeah. So the reason, I guess, just to provide more background information, the reason why this, amendment relating to crypto is in the infrastructure bill in the first place is that, the government, projected that it will make like 28 billion over the next 10 years by taxing using this amendment. And then like Daniel said, it's the way it is right now, it's gonna hurt innovation the way it's worded. And
I think with the specifics, and it's like maybe you want to pull something up or I'll pull something up as well, but it's like, because we can do our plain English what it means, and it's like, okay, could be bad for crypto in plain English.
Yeah.
But then the actual specifics are like the developers and certain like node operators would be forced to be brokers in the term of like financial securities. So then the reporting on some of these things would be incredibly complicated. And what that system admin, my cousin's husband, had been telling me about is that it would be impossible for certain developers to like comply, because it's like, if they're making a new protocol, how would they be able to do compliance with like the SEC and like brokers and brokerages? You have to like be like a very certified person to be able to take care of stuff.
Yeah. So there's all these like amendments going around, and one group of senators is, making it so they're excluding Bitcoin mining or proof of work when there's many of other different kinds of mechanisms going on. So this is from the Warner Portman, the bad, in my opinion, the bad people are bad, the bad amendment, which is, it excludes validating distributed ledger transactions through proof of work, or B, selling hardware or software, the sole function of which is to permit persons to control a private key used for accessing digital assets on a distributed ledger. And so from that amendment that they're proposing, or one side is proposing, they're kind of picking, proof of work or Bitcoin mining as, the winner, I guess, in a way.
That was what they were saying, is that it picks winners and losers. And I'm reading right now from Vox, which personally I think is a rag, woke garbage, but they have a good article. Mm-hmm. And I'll read from there. They're talking about how miners don't have customers, so they wouldn't be able to get access to the information necessary to complete a 1099 tax form, something the provision requires brokers submit. And they must submit reports of any transaction over $10,000. So, I mean, they would have to be reporting tons of transactions to customers that they don't know, which would make it basically like, I mean, that was one of the issues. I think that this got amended. And the thing is, it's still happening at this moment. But
yeah, they're trying to force it down with this amendment. And it's a very critical, you know, piece of wording. And this, I mean, this is, I think you see like SBF talk about how, you know, this is okay for like a centralized exchange because, you know, they
have the resources and stuff.
And they have the, you know, the data already of their customers and such. So they can, you know, they're willing to get taxed. But doing, if you run like a validator node or like a ETH node, they're just using, and you don't know what goes through your node, you know, what kind of transactions are going through your node. So that's why it's the law doesn't fit the technology basically. And so, you know, this, if you try to do this, like, you know, back when the internet was created, it's like picking, you know, who's going to win versus for the search engines. Like, is it Google or, you know, like Yahoo or like, you know, Ask Jeeves?
No, and a lot of stuff would end up getting offshored, which is like for sure would happen if some of these provisions go through. So, like I said, that cousin's husband of mine, he's already called a senator. Apparently Coinbase has an automated way where you can sign and then send a letter. But a lot of people are up in arms. And then apparently, I mean, from the rumors on crypto Twitter, there's been a lot of money thrown at lobbyists.
And, oh yeah. I was reading, you know, there's a Washington Post article, you know, that's the Bezos backed newspaper, but like, you know, 5 years ago they had one crypto lobbyist and now they have 60 crypto lobbyists and they're, and like the list is
expanding. Joke of Sam Bankman Fried donated $7 million to Biden. Like, doesn't he get a phone call or like,
yeah, like, and then you see Biden supporting, you know, that proof of work amendment basically, and it's like, come on, Biden. Or like, you know, SBF like donated money, like,
yeah. Biden, I don't know. I think he's a vegetable, but whatever. No, but it's looking like so it's deleted the entire infrastructure bill. And another interesting side thing that I had noticed, and I don't know if you'd seen this, because Brian knows I was pretty hardcore Yang Gang back in the day. There is a girl or a woman who's a teacher in California who was Yang Gang. And there is one of the senators that's like for regulating crypto. She has said that she is pro crypto. Apparently money has just pouring in. It's a blue county. Like it's a blue or what, district or whatever it is. Uh-huh. But she's like, I'm pro crypto. She's also a Democrat. And then the guy running it is a Democrat. And yeah, apparently this dude's going to get primaried. Which is really cool in my opinion. Erica Rhodes, by the way. Erica Rhodes, she's really nice. I've seen videos of her. She's a teacher, just like a nice person, seems like. Now,
the thing about crypto Twitter is that somebody wrote a thread on it or where it was like the way like we're getting so much traction, like the way that they, you know, the senators propose, you know, did these different amendments so fast is because crypto Twitter has mobilized and, you know, mass, you know, ganged up and called, everyone's calling their senators. Everyone is, you know, willing to knows what the stakes are and they're actively, you know, joining forces.
Well, it's funny because it was like I saw a tweet from Fu the Panda, mm-hmm. talking about his dating and how he's like, man, it's annoying because they're either blue or they're red and like, where are the people that don't care about politics? But like, wherever you are on politics, it seems like all of crypto Twitter was just like, I don't care. This is like our one issue.
No, a lot of people, and now I saw a tweet where it's like, I'm now a one issue
voter. One issue voter. Yeah.
So it's like, if you are pro crypto, I'm going to vote for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like it's weird because like there's people on different sides, and like from what I was hearing is like a lot of it is like Janet Yellen asking the senators to put in these provisions, and yeah,
they don't even know what they're about.
So they have no clue what they're even talking about. Like I don't even fully understand the technology. And these guys, like you know, when Facebook and Apple go in, they ask the stupidest questions.
Yeah, the boomers don't even know like how to ask questions. That's why it's like just political theater when like the, you know, when they interviewed, you know, Robin Hood for that stuff.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it's like public record, I believe, that like before she was at the Fed, like Janet Yellen was doing paid speeches to all the central banks. Like they do not want DeFi.
Yeah. But during this, I mean, this past weekend was SmartCon too for Chainlink, and yeah. you had Sergey, you know, preaching Link and, you know, his smart contracts, and I think it was just announced that they have a partnership with Google now for them to access the weather data from Google. From the Google cloud.
For insurance. They can do the insurance. They can actually do that use case now.
To use for the smart contracts, they're gathering data from, you know, Google's cloud, you know, OSHA or whatever it's called for the rain data. And
it's inevitable. The chainlinkification of the world.
And then like Chainlink went down and people were pissed. Like it didn't pump. Like everything else is pumping and like Chainlink is still at like $22-$24, and it's just inevitable.
Well, it's interesting, and I'll just call him David John because that's his name. I'm not going to keep saying my cousin's husband. But we were having this discussion, David John and I, because he was talking about how Ripple got, you know, in trouble with the SEC, and it was like, I didn't know this about them, but apparently the developers gave themselves 80% of the circulation.
Really?
Yeah. And we were talking about how messed up that was. And he was like, I mean, ETH kind of did the same thing too. Like Vitalik is a billionaire. Like they kept some of their coins and stuff. But some of that has to deal with like, is it a security or is it not? And then like regulating whether or not like the, I'll have to get back and loop around and tell you about Yevgangsta.
Yeah.
What he did. I've got a buddy in Europe that I used to live with who created his own token. And he's thinking about rug pulling on his people. But no, it's interesting because, I mean, we're just having a discussion too where it's like scary because it's like, well, I mean, you're talking about that, but isn't Chainlink like 40% supply circulation? I think it's over 50 is in the developer wallet.
I don't know too much about the contracts or like how much tokens.
And maybe we can go back to the SmartCon stuff, but this was one of the things I think it's a good pivot because personally it was what I did as well, where it feels dirty to say it. I sold some Chainlink.
Oh no. At the bottom or like,
I sold some Chainlink and I bought a Mooncat.
Oh, but that one, you already got bids on that though. Right? That was the one that you got bids?
I purchased a Mooncat. And this is like, we can get on the new topic of like...
NFTs.
I like the JPEG. We like the JPEGs.
Pixelated JPEGs. Not the high def ones.
The NFTs are going through the roof. And it's insane. I almost wish I'd bought more of the Mooncats. I mean, I didn't want to sell too much Chainlink. And I set it aside. I end up actually... I staked it in Urzdel. I staked it for some more Urzdel. But what I did with the Mooncat, I purchased it on OpenSea for 0.4 Ethereum, I believe like 8 days ago. Mm-hmm. I've gotten like 4 bids, and then the most recent one was 0.6 Ethereum. So that's a 50% increase.
How long were Mooncats like out? Like, you know, CryptoPunks has been since
it was
like
the
2017.
Second one. It was the second one. It was the one after Moon or after CryptoPunks.
Okay, so they're like 2000.
It's been since 2017, and then I had put it on the Telegram like months back, where the crypto dog, you know, dog, like he's like the big profile. He tweeted, yo, there's a project called Mooncats and you can mint them for 0.3 ETH. 40 minutes, they were all minted. It was like 20,000 or something.
0.3 though, that's like, dang.
Well, at the time it was like 45 bucks.
Oh, okay, back in the day.
Yeah, and then he was like, dude, like I just found some Mooncats that need to be rescued. And that's the whole story. He's like, they're on the moon and you need to rescue them. Please mint them. And so, I mean, that one's gone up, but it doesn't even compare. I mean, if you want to spit out some of the CryptoPunk and Bored Ape Yacht Club numbers, have you seen these penguins too? And the crypto rocks?
The rocks, like, I heard, like pet rocks. Going for 33 ETH.
Yeah. Saw one for $60,000.
But the thing too, like Garvey, that famous guy. Yeah. Garvey. Like he's like he's been you know, the bridge from the normies to the NFT world, where it's like he's starting to invest in a bunch of NFTs. I know the like women of NFT or something, where it's just like different women, and it's like you know, historical, cultural, relevant like women, like Frida Kahlo, like different kind of tweets, and like that one he tweeted about and was saying that he was in, and then immediately, you know, sold out. Like I was looking to mint because it's like only 0.05, and apparently now like they have, you know, different rewards. You know, if you are in, if you have like this specific like characteristic, you'll get like a percentage of the royalties of like all.
Dude, and it's getting volume. Really crazy. Like it's interesting, and like I don't really know how some of these things are gonna work, but I don't know what the point is, but someone rented a CryptoPunk.
Yeah, I saw that people are renting CryptoPunks, put it as their Twitter avatar. Like, that's so fucked up.
It's really one of the most, and then, I mean, there's also the fractionalization, and I've heard about people creating DAOs to be able to, you know, like, pool money to be able to buy NFTs and flip them and stuff. Like,
dude, did you see the weird place? Did you see the stuff like came out today, like Fluff, those like animated 3D like rabbits? I mean, they look really cool because it's like more than just a JPEG, it's like a 3D like art with different things, and it has a sound thing. But those things are going like crazy. They like minted today. And like the volume is like going crazy. Like it's already like the floor is already one ETH like minimum.
Yeah. It's insane where it's like, it's just, I mean, the NFT stuff, I think that there's so many people where they still don't understand even how to get it or do it. And then the smart people are like, whatever, we're still super early.
No, that's the thing, is that like this is when it comes out, like how many rich people there are that they're just like, oh, you know, 1500 ETH, you know, $1 million to throw on a CryptoPunk ain't no thing. Like, I just, that's like chump change. Like, how many people are like, it's because there's more and more sales, you know, how much they sold for, you know, like if someone's buying that, like they gotta be like crazy rich to just throw like a private plane basically on a pixelated JPEG.
No, and I mean, but there was one guy where it was like, oh, he bought a punk for 1.3 and like 7 days later sold it for 3 mil.
Yeah, like the return on investment too, if you have the, like, you know,
insane,
if you have the moolah to just throw, if you have the ETH to throw around.
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like a little early for the shills, but the Mooncat floor is low.
Like, dude, Mona's in 3 years, right? Huh? We're going to be Mona's in 3 years.
Yeah. Give it some time. Have they moved up at all?
Like slowly, like the floor, like all the 0.04 ETHs or ones are gone. And now the floor is at 0.05. So just what you mint for, basically.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if CryptoPunks started in 2017, they're starting to gain traction. Monas has a shot.
Well, the other one that I was looking at is, have you seen, I almost wanted to get in and I kind of kicking myself not for doing it. Parallel NFT, the card game. Have you heard of this one?
I saw someone tweet about it. I didn't like look into it.
Yeah, they're like trying to do like a Magic the Gathering type game. And it's like the cards, like some of the rare ones are going for like 60 ETH.
That's crazy.
It's like, and like the game hasn't even launched yet or something. Like, but I mean, they have real artists doing these. Like they did like Magic where it's like,
yeah,
the art is really cool. And so, I mean, at least it's getting like a little more aesthetic, but like, yeah, the pudgy penguin. I
saw the one rocks, the rock thing cracks.
So the rock is really like the,
it's just that like one a,
really just blows my mind.
But it's, yeah, the NFT, I think now it's like way too convoluted, you know, like there's gonna be like some kind of drawback or something. Like, how do you know which one's gonna come out?
This is one of the points that I was gonna get to where it was like, it's a weird market because it's not liquid.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's not like if the market goes bad, like it's not like someone can dump on like you.
Yeah.
Like, nah, dude, you're stuck with that JPEG.
Yeah, that's why it's like, I don't want to like, you know, keep spending on like, or like, I just, if I get an NFT, it's got to be on the ground floor. Like, you know.
Oh, like a new one?
Yeah, like Mona's where it's like just released or something.
I
where
saw
you're only paying
the Doge Pound. The Doge Pound. There's all these derivatives of punks too. Are you seeing?
No, it's the same punks? Con. Yeah, the food pump, tits punk.
Began punks.
Yeah. Like, those are still going for six figures, like 103,000. Someone bought like the fast food punk.
Yeah, because I think Milkman, that the crypto dude, is like pretty big on it.
Yeah, that's like crazy.
No, and I mean on the same similar note, but it's, I mean, it's interesting because I mean, like with Gary, there's definitely some traction with the serious auction houses, yeah. And I actually have a cousin, Misha Khan. And he did a really creative NFT project that is going to be in Christie's.
Really?
And so I'm looking it up right now.
Misha Khan, you said?
Yeah, K-A-H-N.
Yeah, he's a...
Furniture Unhinged. He's really famous for... he went to RISD. He's a really famous artist. And so Misha Khan, Furniture Unhinged. The bidding starts in 10 days. And then it says, for this first ever design NFT sale offered by a major auction house, Christie's partnered with acclaimed nonconformist Misha Khan, a material polymath whose irreverent approach encompasses a wide range of techniques and tools. So what he's doing, Furniture Unhinged, you can look it up. I'm on Christie's.
Yeah, I'm on Christie.
You see this
looks pretty cool, actually.
He's a great artist. I bet it's going to go for a crazy amount of money. He's already super successful. LeBron James wore his shirt the week that he had a show in Los Angeles. Like the week of like the finals or the playoffs.
Oh, this is crazy. Go to the viewing room and see the animation. It's like bouncing around.
Is it explore recent NFTs?
No, so
the viewing room.
Yeah, viewing room, and just scroll down, and there's like this animation where it like transforms to different things. I don't know if that's part of the NFT or. Oh, I see it. Yeah. So you see that animation?
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's like all the different items.
Yeah, I don't know if that one's for sale, but if you scroll down, then it has the actual collection. It's kind of like, it's not furniture, but it's like, you know, these, it's like.
He does super crazy furniture stuff. Like,
yeah.
He's known as a furniture artist. And I mean, his dad's like a carpenter. Like, he's big into like, wow. How much do you think that these are going to go for?
Holy, I think this is like fine art, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot more than like if crypto, oh, it's hard to tell, right? Because if CryptoPunks is going for like 1500 ETH.
But I mean, you know that that's because of historical stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't know. At least, I mean, I'm still in the mindset where I'm thinking in USD when I need to be thinking in ETH, but it's probably, I could see these going for like a million or so. Right? Like, these are like really cool and like, imagine, like, this is definitely like something you would brag to, you know, in your virtual gallery or, you know, some bougie shit where you're like, oh, look, I mean, at my Misha Khan.
He sells his crazy looking furniture for a lot of money to rich people.
Yeah. And, yeah. Yeah. This is exactly.
This is like the next level, but.
Yeah.
I mean.
Do you think he knows how to do this, the coding or stuff, or does he work with somebody that does this?
He has to work with. I know he has a whole team of people that does his stuff because it's like he creates them and designs them, but like,
yeah.
He has like a furniture like team that actually creates and produces them.
That's crazy. Yeah, this is going for millions for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
but yeah, did you see kind of going on the art fate? Do you see like a gold like tanked or something? Like,
I've been seeing like, that. And it's like funny. Everybody's making fun of Peter Schiff.
It's only 6%, but like, yeah. You know, the candle just looks like a rug pull, basically. But it's funny. Like, people are like tweeting, like, people are taking their money out of gold and putting it into like pixelated JPEGs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh man, too bad I didn't get like the Stone Cats. That's another one. Have you heard about this one with Ashton Kutcher?
No, I heard about, I saw that.
It kind of sucked actually, but we'll see what happens. But what they did is they made a thing of NFTs.
I thought Stoner Cats wasn't the one that you were trying to buy?
Yeah, that's what it is. But the thing is, they're making it a TV show. And so then all the NFTs were of these characters. And apparently Vitalik Buterin is going to be one of the characters. Like, he's voicing over. It's going to be a TV show, but you have to buy one of the NFTs to be able to watch the show. And it was like $1,000. And they were not really good. Like, people kind of talked shit about them. But it's going to be weird because literally buying it is your ticket to watch the show when it comes out.
Oh, shit. They got, I'm looking at an article. They got Vitalik as Lord Katsington. And then they got Seth MacFarlane, who like created Family Guy. He's voicing some characters. You got Chris Rock as Hamilton, the Bold. And then you have Jane Fonda voicing the cats. And then Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. So it's funny that they got, like, you know, big names to voice their cats. But they sold out in less than 35 minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that they're probably going to go up, but
it raised like, 8.4 million.
Yeah. Jeez. And they're probably off. Like, I don't know. You can check on OpenSea for what their prices are.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that they didn't create Stoner Cats though, right? They're just making an animated.
No, they did. But I think that there's like another Stoner Cats. Like, I think that there's two different projects, but.
Oh.
I wasn't like totally enthralled, and it was like, yeah, it was. They didn't do the minting drop very well, and I was like, I didn't know the timing, and then I just kind of was like, oh, whatever.
Oh, no, yeah, it's different than the Stoner Kits I'm thinking of. Well, there's a teaser already on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw that they saw that clip where Ashton Kutcher was like asking his wife to explain like cryptocurrency tools and then our terms, and then. And then for one of them, it like scrolled to Vitalik and he was explaining like Ethereum basically. And that's kind of like crazy that they had like Vitalik in like their living room.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm sure they're talking about the, you know, the TV show since he's going to be in it, but it's kind of funny.
You know, while we were gone, though, we didn't actually cover the hard fork. Do you want to just, like, do a quick ELP?
Yeah, so, yeah, this dropped, too, like, 2 days ago. This kind of helped ETH pump, where they launched EIP 1559, and it's a deflationary mechanism where, you know, if you use ETH, you know, ETH gets burned at the same time, right? And so a lot of ETH has been burned already in just like this couple days. And so I don't know. I haven't been trading on ETH or using Uniswap, so I don't know what the gas fees are like, but it's supposed to be better for the ecosystem. It's supposed to be moving to proof of stake, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, the deflationary mechanism, it's like, there's like something like, I think like 10,000 plus ETH that's been burnt.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Every transaction, like a little fraction of it gets taken out of circulation. And so then this way it doesn't just have an increasingly like unlimited supply. And so, yeah, I mean, and the gas fees haven't been so bad, but it was weird. There was like, I forgot which NFT drop, I think it was Parallel, where it's like legitimately like, I had to feel it where I was like, maybe the environmentalists have a little bit of a point. If gas fees are increasing because there's so much gas and energy being spent minting NFTs, like the whole network went up in price because of like one NFT drop.
The thing is that you're using it from, you know, you're using electricity from the grid. So the grid just needs to be on renewable energy. Like, you know, and we're already doing, like, you could easily, like, have your utility invest in, you know, green energy or in solar. So, I don't know. I think this is a very fixable problem. I think the demand for ETH will just, you know, make it more of a need. So, there's just, you know, it forces them to, you know, go to greener, use greener
ETH 10k end of year.
Let's go to 12. I got one ETH. I bought at the top. I bought, you know, I sold my last stocks. I had like 10 grand. I bought ETH at the top. So I got like two or so ETH, flipped one ETH into while it was dipping. So it was at 3,500. I flipped it to Urzel. So I just have one leftover ETH at like, you know, so I needed to get to like, you know, I should have actually like used that, took it as a loss and rebought, you know, that wash mechanism, but I just held it now. So hopefully
I'm getting my team working on that wash sale stuff, but like we're trying to learn exactly, because like, I mean, it's a big part of like, you can use crypto to like absorb tax losses on
that's
paper.
That's a big thing. I mean, like, if billionaires are doing it, why can't we do it? Like,
well, I was talking about it with David John. It was like, he was like, yeah, like, I don't know, I've had all this stuff for a long time, and like how you can use like DeFi where you just like use your crypto as collateral for dollars.
Yeah.
And then since it's a loan, it's not like taxable income. It actually, you pay interest that counts against your income. So that's like a smart way of doing it. And then the classic, you know, like, oh yeah, I dropped my hard wallet on a boating accident. But now it's like, yeah, I like bought a CryptoPunk and then I sold it for a dollar to some strange wallet on the other side of the world that I also control. I just lost $1 million because I sold it for cheap.
Yeah.
To an unknown buyer.
Here's the address to this wallet. You can trace it. It's totally transparent. I just don't know who this person is.
Yeah. Yeah. If that finger I slipped, you know.
Yeah.
I liquidated all of my cryptos into a JPEG that I undersold.
I mean, how is that any different than, you know, moving your money into art to, you know, to hide it and, you know, track, you know, that's the whole art world basically, where it's like,
that was the whole thing where like Janet Yellen was like, if we can't track capital gains, it's like, well, better get rid of art, gold, dollars. Like,
yeah, people, I mean, every single like movie is like, oh, we stole this. How are you gonna, you know, get rich out of it? We have a fence. We have someone to fence it. You know, we're gonna convert it into this Picasso, and then, you know, sell the Picasso.
Yeah.
So this is a new stuff. It's just in a different environment.
Yeah, I mean, basically, no. And someone was like on Twitter, being like, "I'm in DC. Like, the powers of hell are uniting against us." But like, all of the central bankers and the bloodsuckers, you know, the lizard people.
They don't want crypto to win.
Yeah. Ugh. But I mean, I think we covered some good stuff, and
yeah, this is
maybe keep it back to rhythm, and then get some guests on, maybe add an extra podcast here and there. But let's get to the shills. I mean, I already know it's Mooncats. I mean, come on, Mooncats.
I'll do a
up in like a week.
I'll do a non-traditional answer, I guess. And this is like me kind of just stumbling in upon. I had some leftover money.
Invest in your mental health.
No. So I guess there's all this talk about, you know, Grayscale and their like ETF. And so I was able to, you know, at the downturn, invest. And I just had leftover, you know, Roth IRA money just like in cash for, I was just sitting for years. And I invested it into the Grayscale ETF. Which, you know, if you don't have money to, you know, buy actual ETH, you can invest in this ETF, which is way cheaper. It's only like $20 or $27 and basically tracks as ETH. But, you know, that's another avenue to get exposed into crypto. So I'm like,
interesting.
I'm on a good, I made some money already. So something to get into.
Yeah. I'm like also bullish on ETH. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, enough with that, like, downturn. Like, come on, back to the super cycle.
Yeah, so if you don't want to buy through Coinbase or you don't have the funds, you can, you know, invest in the stock market like a normal person into the Grayscale ETH, Ethereum
JPEGs. Funds. JPEGs, NFTs.
So what's yours, Daniel?
Yeah, besides Mooncats, I'm like, dude, Link is just so... I mean, there was that idea of like the supply just being like off, but like, I mean, it's inevitable. It's like so undervalued. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's like buying Link is like getting rich in slow motion. Like,
no, what's just, that?
This is genius.
The network effect, whatever that
thing, Metcalf's
rule, where it's like the more partnerships you have, the greater net for your, it's proportional to its value. So, you know, ETH has all these good partnerships. They're like each day they have two or three partnerships a day.
So there's one more too. It's and it's like, this is from David John, and it's, I don't really know much, but he's really smart, and then he knows about like cryptography and stuff, and Singularity DAO. And from what I understand, their goal is, it's like they're trying to do an AI that will manage people's crypto funds. And it's like an open source AI. And then apparently the leader of it is this guy who's been on Lex Fridman and Joe Rogan. His name is Ben Goertzel. He looks like a hippie, and apparently he's like a genius. And so I don't even really didn't really do my own research, but like he was like, it's a total moonshot with like crazy technology, but Singularity and Ben Goertzel. So maybe look into it. Like, it was like just the idea of it sounded creepy, where it was like, yeah, open source AI.
So AI, AI, especially with large, like people are scared to invest in crypto. Like, imagine you being scared of an AI controlling your money.
Yeah.
So, damn, I gotta look into that. That sounds interesting, but
it was so confusing. I mean, talking to David John, we'll get him on and he'll tell us about how to keep stuff secure. And I was like,
yeah, dude,
losing me.
I've seen tweets where people have hacked MetaMask, so that's like kind of scary. I gotta The problem with hardware wallets, though, is that like it doesn't support like all the tokens, I guess. Like it doesn't support Urzel, so that like I gotta figure out.
That's what I heard as well. He was telling me about that stuff, and it was like, I don't know. He'll tell us about some stuff, but like he's got family stuff, and so maybe it'll be a couple weeks down the line. But yeah, no, it was a good podcast. Let's wrap it up.
We're cool. Back on track. So
yep,
good talking to everyone. See ya.
Peace.
Bye.